What's up, y'all? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. It is episode 5 of the Joshua Capellan Show. We are 5 episodes in so far. We started about 2 weeks ago, and everything is kind of just falling into a good plan right now. A lot of things are up. There's been a lot of building, and the foundation of a lot of things have been built. I said earlier that we were going to get into some things, but what happened is it got cut off. So we're going to be jumping into some topics today. We're going to be talking about, of course, in the wrestling aspect. We're going to talk about Monday Night Raw, see what happened there, see what we can talk about from there. Unfortunately, I didn't see Double or Nothing. I haven't really been watching AEW things, but I will do this. I'm going to watch All In when that happens, and that'll be like my first topic on AEW specific shows, because we'll see what happens from there, right? Because AEW television was just getting kind of like boring, so I stopped watching for a long time. But I'll take a look. I didn't see Double or Nothing. I heard it was a great show, but we'll see what happens, because I do want to talk about All In when it happens, and there's a topic about All In I want to talk about too. So when we get there, we'll get there, right? So that's one thing. A couple more things, you know, especially when it comes to music. We are going to talk about the winners of the American Music Awards and kind of like see what's going on, because mainly the music things we've been talking about, pretty much just the rap beef that happened. But I want to go into more topics in music. So, and we're gonna look at the Billboard charts. We're gonna give our thoughts, see what's happening there. Absol did this Joey Badass, and I guess it's it's still a friendly fade going on. So maybe we'll talk about that. I haven't heard the song myself, so depending how it goes, we might listen to it. There are some state of play rumors going around, and I've got a couple topics for gaming this time, so we'll talk about that when we get there. But getting up a little early, it seems I'm so used to getting up later that when I gotta get up earlier, that I get a little tired. But no matter what, we go on, we keep going. And let's get into the good stuff, right? So, Monday Night Raw was in Tampa. That was about a few nights ago, because I do record this on Wednesday, so it was Monday. And it was a decent show. I'll give a review, and then as we go along, I'll give my thoughts. When I watch Raw, I usually write down some notes. And these notes is what something I kind of give out so we can listen to them. I can talk about them, right? So, let's get into it. So, Paul comes out with his faction. It's now Bronson Reed is part of the faction with Braun Breaker. And it's Paul, Bronz, and Seth. So, there's a 4-man group right now. 1 manager, 3 wrestlers. And they come out, and for some reason, they're still trying to see if he's a face or a heel. So he comes out with the same song, everyone keeps singing, and it seems like, you know, the crowd, the heel crowd that we have, loves him, man. They love him. So, he's a face, bro. He's a face talking like a heel. But his heel promo is really good. The only thing is, Paul does talk, and Paul puts his guys over. He's talking about Bronson Reed being this guy who dismantled Seth Rollins and everything. I did like when Paul said, first of all, Braun Breaker looked like a star. He looked a star out there, and that's the way you're supposed to make him look. He's looked a lot better this week with the suits and everything than most of the other weeks. He's wearing like a jacket and everything. He looks more like a star, and so does Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed does look like a star as well. Paul put him over very well. I like Paul when he's managing these big guys, right? So Seth is cutting a really good heel promo. But before we got to that, I want to talk about one thing that Paul said that was, it kind of popped me, bro. So he was talking about how Seth was destroyed by Bronson Reed. And then he said, Seth is so generous that he's so generous for all the people because he's willing to sacrifice what he does to sacrifice himself for the betterment of the people by joining with Bronson Reed. I thought that was a really good like promo part there. And then Seth is cutting a great heel promo. He's talking about, yeah, I want power. It's power, power, power. He wants power. And that he kind of say like, hey, he needs the world title and he'll be very powerful. Right now, I do feel like he's more powerful than that world title. So does he really need the world title? No, but it would put over the world title that no one likes. So I started noticing that like Seth was getting boos and chants. So like I said, he's a face to the heel crowd and he's a heel to the actual casual fans. So that's a good thing they're kind of doing, right? They're getting him more heelish because at first he was getting completely cheered and now he's like getting only a little bit cheered, but he's getting like a mix. So at least it's going somewhere, right? On top of that, like he was getting the chance of his song and he started burying the song, and that's what he needs to do. He's like, hey, you guys all are, because people started saying like fuck you Rollins, right? They were like fuck you Rollins. Of course, for some reason Netflix wants to block that, but you know, I thought they weren't gonna block things like that, but whatever. Then he's like, hey, you guys are saying fuck you to me. And he didn't say that. He said, you guys are speaking profanity, but you guys are singing my song. And that's true. Like, you guys, he's a heel, but you guys sing the fucking song. So people started chanting the song again. It gets on my fucking nerves. But I thought it was a good promo. I just thought the promo was a little bit too long. They kept talking and talking, but there was a lot of pauses. But once he got to the point and once he started kicking up his heel promo, it got very good. So I do think that was a good promo. I want to see what's next. Well, we will. But this team right now is looking good. Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, I think they're now Bron Breakker is becoming a main eventer. I do think him and Bronson Reed being in a faction probably brings them a little bit more down. I hope they don't go for tag team gold because now you're putting them as like the mid-carders when Braun should be elevated and so should Bronson Reed. So I hope they don't become a tag team. And this faction still doesn't have a name. So this faction, I'm just calling it Paul's faction. Paul Heyman's new faction. Right now, because there's no name for him. It's just a four guy alliance right now. So other than that, it was a really good promo. I'm glad these guys are like being seen at their full potential. I'm glad Bronson Reed is in there. I do think they should have said something a little bit more about why him and Seth, like what was the conversation like? Why was he like, hey, you beat the shit out of me and nearly destroyed me, but it's all good. Like, I think we need a little bit more of a story back there, but we're still good. Continuing on, it was a triple threat match for the qualifications for Money in the Bank. We had Penta versus Gable versus Dragon Lee. And I think Chad Gable is a great wrestler, man. He's good. He's just really good. A lot of my favorite spots from the match was from Chad Gable. I do like Penta and Dragon Lee. And they do a lot of high-flying, cool moves. But the way Gable makes these simple moves look good is, I think that's a talent in itself. Dragon Lee and Penta did do a good job, though. There was one time that they were trying to do, like, a three-man move. I think, like, Penta was trying to do a driver and get Dragon Lee in, like some other move. Probably, like, a vertebraker or something. And Chad did get dropped on his head, man. He got dropped right on his fucking head. Referees ran to see if he was okay. And, you know, he kept wrestling. So, good job, you know. Usually, sometimes, we hate to see people get hurt and things are stopped. But as we've seen with Zoe Stark. So, I'm glad he kind of stuck it in, stuck the match, and it kept going. He did very, very well in the match. And Penta's an enjoyable dude. I like watching Penta wrestle in WWE. I do think he was possibly a little bit more exciting in AEW. A little bit more exciting. But I think his work makes more sense in WWE. So it's like not too wacky and outlandish, which is good. But I do think he was a little bit more exciting on AEW. But I think he's more over in WWE too. So Penta is an enjoyable watch. I'm glad they kind of scooped him up. Dragon Lee, man, he's good. He did this very, very, very good high spot where he dove from the ropes. He dove from the ring all the way to the announcer table and hit Penta. That was a very, very exciting move to watch. I thought at first they missed the camera angle, missed it, but then they showed a replay and then I saw it better. So I was like, okay, they didn't miss the spot. But it looked very good when it happened. The match was very fun for a Raw match. Vikingo's there, and you know he's got a match with Chad Gable at Worlds Collide. And they're trying to put him over. So on top of that, they kind of spoiled that it will be for the AAA Mega Championship. So I guess he's going to be facing, I'm talking about Vikingo, he's going to be facing Alberto Del Rio coming up, and I guess they're going to just take the title off Alberto, so we'll see what happens. But during the match, he interfered with the Chad Gable, move, stopped him, and then Penta took the win. Chad Gable did get busted open. I don't know if they were trying to oversell something or he just became busted open because of the moves earlier, but other than that, it was a fun match. Penta is going to Money in the Bank. They kind of need a high flyer like that, so it's good. They got LA Knight. They have Seth Rollins. They have Penta. And they have, there's another person they have in there. I just can't remember. They got four people right now. So let's see what happens as we continue. Judgment Day segment was backstage. I don't know why they're always playing 2K. I mean, with all the 800 sponsors WWE's have, you'd think they would be playing different games. It's always it's always WWE 2K, whatever year it is. It's like, you know, I've seen you guys have a sponsor for Doom. Have the motherfuckers play Doom. How about for their sponsorships? Because I've seen WWE sponsor Fortnite. I've seen WWE sponsor so much other games, bro. I've seen them sponsor Sparking Zero. And they always play 2K. Yo, have the Judgment Day playing whatever your sponsor is. Look at that. That's money right there, bro. That's money right there. Look, fire the guy who makes in charge of that and put me. It's probably Triple H, but so don't fire him. Let's just tell him, bro, whatever you're sponsoring, have them play that game. Because they're always fucking playing 2K. And it's always in a Hell in a Cell or something. But regardless, they go to the backstage segment and it seems they're trying to have still Roxanne scheme on Dominic Mysterio. You hear Liv Morgan return and she's all like, yo, what's going on here? And she's all looking jealous and shit. I like Finn's face. Finn's face in this segment was fantastic. And Finn knows how to do those facials where at these certain times like this, like when Dom turned, I still remember the fucking hilarious face he made. And he did it again here. He's very good with facials, bro. Pause. So, you know, Liv does return. She's got a match. She's like, yo, she doesn't have a match. She's like, I'm going to talk to Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis. I haven't seen Adam Pearce. Now that I think about it, was Adam Pearce in the show? Because she did say Nick Aldis or she said Adam Pearce. I think it was Adam Pearce. I forgot, bro. But anyway, she said she's going to go to Adam Pearce and like exchange or try to get money in the bank. So there was a part that Carlito said like, yo, you got to stop eating her nuggets. And I'm surprised no one popped for that, bro. I thought it was pretty funny. I like Carlito. I like his little one-liners, bro. But no one popped. They're like, yo, he's like, yo, you got to stop eating her nuggets, bro. But the crowd didn't. The Tampa crowd was like, nah, bro, we're not having that shit. So it is what it is. Tozawa and Rusev were next. And it was happening. So, sorry, guys. Sometimes I got an itch, bro. Fucking, I got an itch with these things. Nah, I'm kidding. Tozawa Rusev was next. And I keep talking about it, but Rusev is over with me, bro. I like Rusev, bro. I like the Redeemer Rusev. And it's going in. What I love that he just destroyed him in seconds. That's what you need to do, bro. That's how you need to get these guys over. Just have people get destroyed in a second. That's what early Vince used to do. That's how he used to get all the new guys over. He'll just have someone come in, like destroy a couple jobbers and everything, and that's it. And Tozawa's a glorified jobber, bro. It's crazy. I haven't really seen a real jobber in wrestling in a while. Probably in AEW, you know. They'll grab a local jobber and they'll have the most greatest 5-star match of their life just to lose and never see him again. But as opposed to WWE, like they I haven't seen them just bring some regular guy you will never know in your life to get like destroyed. I think they did it once when they when like Kevin Owens was fighting some guy that the crowd got over with. And they were like just a random dude. I thought that was a good way to use a jobber, but Rusev should be destroying people. And I do like that after the match, he just wouldn't let go. He would still choke out Tozawa. And Sheamus comes down, and I think this feud, it can cook up into some good shit, bro. I'll tell you why. So right now the crowd is not going to pop too hard for this because Sheamus is kind of like a veteran. And so is like Rusev is kind of like a veteran, but these aren't like main event. They're not main event stars at the moment. They're like the guys everyone respects and still in the business. Right. And Rusev is coming up. So again, because, you know, Rusev was like he was up there, bro. He was up there when he was in as the first gimmick with Lana. So now, you know, they're kind of building him up. They're building him up right. So what the thing about this match is it feels like it's the better version of the Drew and Damian Priest feud. I think this would be a great match, and these guys can really make this a really good upper mid-card level feud. I think it'll start picking up steam. I think this feud can pick up steam. Both these guys are very good, and I believe this is what you probably should do if you're booking this. Maybe not. I would have them have this feud and Rusev just beat Sheamus. Have Rusev beat Sheamus, and, you know, just like, not to destroy him, but have them have a good match, because you remember when Edge left and Edge and Sheamus had a last match? That was an incredible match. I think that match was very underrated, and I think this match that they both have, him, Sheamus and Rusev, can have another they can have a banger. So Sheamus and Rusev, They have a quick feud. Rusev destroys him once. Have Rusev just beat him once. Then Rusev goes for the IC title. He wins the IC title. And then he just gets this reign of dominance throughout the year with this title, bro. Have him like destroy people by being the Intercontinental title. Because I think that's who they should put the title next on, Rusev. And then have Rusev and Sheamus fight again at WrestleMania for the title. And that would cover the Sheamus never won the Intercontinental title story. And it would reignite a feud they had months ago, which is now. I think that's money right there. I think that'd be a good way to book, but who knows what they're going to do. I think they want to keep the title on Dominic for a little while. What I think is Dominic should keep the IC title until SummerSlam. Have Finn turn on him. Have Dominic a babyface. Then Rusev takes the title off Dominic because Finn Balor like costs him or something, and then you can have just Rusev destroy until WrestleMania. But other than that, I'm really excited. I like the way they're going with Rusev's direction. I think they're doing a great job. Next was the World Tag Titles. This match. All right, so one thing I do like that the New Day look like champions, bro. I like that their gimmick isn't the freaking unicorn shit, bro. I like this. I like that they're heels. I like that they look like actual human beings and not like cartoon characters, bro. I mean, you know, they do have references to like you know, anime and shit. But I like them like this. I think they should be the World Tag Titles for probably a little while. Because they look like world champions. They look like World Tag Team champions. War Raiders and Creed Brothers were... It was a triple threat. One thing they do, bro, I'm gonna tell you, one thing they do and it gets on my fucking nerves is when WWE does the backstage promos during the fucking next match, bro. Here's what they do. They'll have little, because they did this here. They had New Day like start coming out and they do their entrances, then they skip to the commercials. When they skip to commercials and they come back, it's just Sami Zayn and Jey Uso in the back. And they're talking and they're like, hey, we're going to do this. They're doing like a backstage promo. Sammy's like, he's, you know, they talked about some shit. I can't fucking remember it too much. But what was funny was then they get back to the match and they completely skip the War Raiders and the Creed Brothers entrance to start the match. Bro, these backstage promos, just put them after the match. You know, one thing I do understand that like the matches have to be fantastic for people to get over. They have to be good workers. But another thing is people's entrances, man. Like the way they present themselves going to the ring, that's most likely the most memorable. It's like The Undertaker, bro. The Undertaker was a good worker, bro. But most people remember the entrance. And same with The Rock and their theme song. And so, you know, all these legends. John Cena, his theme music. Like, there's these things that people click with. And that's why I like I said earlier, I said the New Day look like champions. Because they're presented like champions when they come out. But these other guys, like the Creed Brothers and the War Raiders, I think War Raiders can probably, like, they can probably have their entrance, like, not have to be cut off. I like the Creed Brothers. Their in-ring work is good, but they just need a little bit more character work. And that's what gets on my nerves. So the backstage promo's done, and they have a match. Mostly the heels were working over the baby faces, which the four heels are the Creed Brothers and the New Day. And War Raiders were kind of like the baby faces. The match was decent. It was a decent Raw match. Anything that, when I say decent Raw match, that means I don't have to get too much into it. And New Day retains because they outsmart the Creed Brothers. So they retain. It's the right decision. They should retain and they should get into a feud. I don't want to see the New Day feud with the War Raiders anymore. I want to let them feud with somebody else. Let's get the now. Let's like actually start like a real tag team feud. Because that was a feud, but it wasn't exciting to them. It wasn't as exciting. Jey Uso versus Gunther. I've already made videos about this. If you want to know what I think about Jey Uso and Gunther, here's what I'll do. You see this right here? Wait, where's my finger? This way. You see this right here? I'm going to get it to point to this right here. That's my video for what I think about Jey Uso or Gunther coming up. It's right there. I'll edit that in later. It's going to look really crazy if I edit that in. And if I don't edit that in, you're just going to see, like, a finger doing that stupid shit. But, you know, Jay, they have their freaking promo again. It's the same promo. Like, hey, you're doubting me. I'm going to beat you up. All right, it's enough. I've had enough of the promo. I think these guys are both talented. On the mic, both of them. I like Jey Uso on the mic sometimes. But enough with this feud. Enough. I'm done. I'm on cooldown with it. But what kind of irked me was kind of crazy, too. Jey Uso's talking, bro. He's talking, bro. And then out of nowhere, it's just a long fucking pause. It's just, and like the crowd's getting awkward and like everything's getting awkward. And I'm like, damn, bro, he forgot his promo, dude. He forgot his promo. And then he's just like, then he starts like kind of talking and he botched the promo, bro, at the end. So, yeah, this match is going to happen. It's probably going to be it's going to be a good match for a Raw match. Watch. And I don't know which direction this will go in. I believe there will be a Money in the Bank cash in at that time, and Seth might cash it in because I don't know who. Like, I hope LA Knight wins the Money in the Bank, but I think they might give it to Seth, and we'll get into that later. But honestly, I don't care about Jey Uso Gunther feud anymore. I think their feud should have been done at WrestleMania. A commercial hits and Cody has a podcast. That's it. And he's interviewing his wife. And then they wonder. Never mind. Titus O'Neil is shown in the crowd. And I want to know real quick, bro. Is Titus O'Neil signed still? Because even when he was signed, or if he still is, he never showed up. He was never on TV. Is Titus O'Neil still signed to WWE? Let me see, bro. I want to see. Is Titus O'Neil still with WWE? Let's see. I want to take a look. Oh my. You're fucking kidding me, bro. You're kidding me. He's still with WWE? Titus O'Neil is still, look what Google says. Titus O'Neil is still with WWE, although he has not wrestled since 2020. He is currently signed to WWE as a global ambassador and also actively involved in charity work. I thought he got let go. He's still signed. Get the fuck out of here. All right, he hasn't worked for four. I mean, he works, you know, he does backstage shit, so he really works. But he hasn't done a match. He hasn't done a match in 5 fucking years. He's still signed. All these people got released, and he's still signed. But he does backstage work, so he's a global ambassador. I like Titus, bro. But they made it seem like he used to be. And he's doing some acting right now too. They were putting something over with him on Peacock. This is crazy. I really didn't think he was fucking signed. Whatever. But shout out to Titus O'Neil. I like him. He's pretty good. He was entertaining too. It's a shame because he's over, bro. So he has some little woo-woo gimmick, bro. It was good. But, yo, shout out to Titus O'Neil. Next was Liv Morgan. She was in the back, and she came across Kairi Sane and Io Sky. And I forgot Io was champion, bro. She has no feud. She was supposed to have a feud with Rhea, but Zoe Stark got hurt. So I guess Rhea probably... I think Zoe Stark was supposed to win that match, and I think Rhea was going to battle Io Sky at Money in the Bank, but because she got hurt, they couldn't have Rhea pinned, so they pivoted to Rhea being in Money in the Bank, bro, because, like, I truly don't believe Rhea was supposed to be in that match in Money in the Bank, but if she is, she is, but they had to pivot. So Io Sky's just there, bro. She's in the back. And Kairi Sane and Liv get in each other's face. And Liv's like, yo, I'm going to cash in Money in the Bank on you. And she this is Kyrie's name, says something. They're like, and Kyrie in like starts talking Japanese, which gets over with me, bro. When they talk Japanese, it gets over with me. And they get a match. The match happens. I think that was the next thing. The match happens. Is Rhea versus Liv. Not Rhea. It's Kyrie Zane versus Liv Morgan. And it was an entertaining match. They're both like kind of the same size, and they're both like they can complement each other, so it was an entertaining match. Roxanne comes in and she helps Liv Morgan, and Raquel starts arguing with Roxanne, and Liv Morgan gets distracted, and then they talk. They're arguing, and then she just loses. So Kyrie Zane gets one on Liv, and then that just boils to the back where like Liv and Roxanne are arguing. And Raquel pops in, and she's like, "Yo, it's Raquel's fault." And Liv looks like she's turning on Raquel, which will probably be a swerve. There's gonna be a big heel turn happening in that group, so I do think it's gonna be a swerve. Next segment was Lyra versus Becky, and I honestly can't get into Lyra. I can't. I know the crowd likes the woo thing because wrestling crowds, they fucking love to chant, and they're in an arena, so why not? Especially when they're bored. Woo! Fucking crowd. I hate the crowd sometimes. I hate them. I fucking hate the crowd sometimes, bro. They're the worst part of pro wrestling, bro. Sometimes they fucking scream random shit, bro. But it's whatever, bro. It's part of the arena, so at least they're reacting, bro. Because if they don't react, the whole show falls apart. So, all I said was, I think Becky should just take the title from Lyra. Lyra's just not getting over with me. Becky, it's like night and day when Becky talks and when Lyra talks. And then Lyra did botch, like, something at the end. She, like, botched her send-off quote. So, I think just take it off. Put the IC title on Becky. Becky will put it over. Becky will probably put that title over more than more than EO's putting the world title over right now. Speaking of over, Karrion Kross is over. Karrion Kross is over, and I think once I seen the sign that said Karrion Kross needs to be pushed or push Karrion Kross, they got to have something big for him, bro. Like I said, he should win. The best thing to do, bro, is have him win Money in the Bank. But probably next year or something. He's got to have some good feuds. I think LA Knight should win Money in the Bank this year. Or have Karrion Kross win this year. Who do you throw as the third man in Money in the Bank from Raw? Probably Karrion Kross? You probably put Karrion Kross. I don't know who else they would put in. They have like two more spots. So we'll see. He talks to Sami Zayn, and he's like, "Hey, yo, Sammy, you could have been going for the world title right now, but you wanted to be a good guy." And then, like, I guess him and Sami Zayn are probably going to have a feud. If they have a feud, Karrion Kross has to go over. He has to, bro. He has to go over. You have to push him, bro. But he's over with the crowd, and a lot of people like him. He's turning into Triple H, bro. Early Triple H? That's what it feels like he is. He has like that aura. That's what I believe. But the main event happens. Seth, Balor, and Zayn. I noticed the commentary just putting the Heist of the Century over a lot. They're just like, the Heist of the Century, the Heist of the Century. Instead of saying, yo, when Seth Rollins cashed in, they're like, the Heist of the Century, the Heist of the Century. So that, I guess that's just going to be the official name. It gets annoying, though, when they kept saying it. Seth does bury the pedigree here in this match. I think the pedigree is having it as a non-finisher is crazy. I can't believe Triple H's ego is letting that happen. Like, the pedigree, everyone's just kicking out of the pedigree, and that was a very, very strong move. It was a very protected move back then. But the match was fine. I do think Sami Zayn's Blue Thunder Bomb should be the finisher. The Huluva kick should, it should go the other way around. It should go to the Huluva kick go turning into a Blue Thunder Bomb, and that should be like the big finish. But I guess he likes it the other way, so it's fine. And I think it's because he was smaller back then. When he was smaller, it worked. But now that he's bigger, he can actually do the Blue Thunder Bomb. It'll look good. The match is fine. It's all three guys. They're really good. Just think of those three guys having a match. All those moves. That it happened. That's what it is. It was just everyone kind of like showing how good they are and performing moves. The faction later comes out of Paul Heyman's faction. They all come to interfere, start beating everyone up. Jey Uso comes in, starts beating everyone up too. Then I think the most interesting part was when Dominic interfered. Once Dominic Mysterio came in, I was like, oh man, Finn's winning the match. And then, because I thought if Finn would win the match too, because I was like, Seth is still feuding. I don't think they're going to put him in the Money in the Bank match. And when Dominic threw, he overthrew it like he did like with the Rhea and Liv Morgan thing. And he just hit the stomp. Seth Rollins hit the stomp on him, and then it was 1-2-3. And Seth is going to the Money in the Bank. And I can understand him going to Money in the Bank because it puts in that, hey, no one else is taking that Money in the Bank but Seth. Seth is over. He's the they're the hottest group. In the business, not the business, the hottest group in WWE right now, and he's grabbing that Money in the Bank. And if somebody else wins it, it makes it feel better. Earlier in the show, Paul Heyman said Seth and CM Punk was not there tonight. I actually believed him. So he everyone got worked because CM Punk later came out. He attacks everybody, and you know he stands tall against the heels. So that's a good way to end Raw. You want the babyface on top, especially Punk. He's been getting like destroyed. So you want to get him, bring some momentum back into him because he was just losing too much and getting destroyed too much. Have him stand tall, and I'm very interested where this Judgment Day thing is going. I think that was the best angle of the night, possibly the night and the end of the match. So. I'm more interested in that direction more than anything. But other than that, that was a decent Raw. And it was Raw. So I'm not going to go too more in depth with it. So yeah, it was a nice Raw. Double or Nothing is, like I said, I didn't watch it. I heard it was some good matches. So I will be watching All In. When it happens, I will be watching All In. So you'll get an All In review. You won't get, I still don't want to watch any AEW wrestling until All In. I'll start watching it for you guys. Cause like I said, I used to watch it all the time. Then I stopped watching it because I just don't like the Death Rider gimmick. It put me off television for them. And, that's just what it is. Speaking of All In, so it's reported already that All In is happening sometime in July. I forgot the exact date to be honest. And it seems WWE is also throwing three shows on that same weekend. They have the NXT Great American Bash PLE. One day I'm going to stop saying pay-per-view, but if I say pay-per-view, I'm going to still say pay-per-view because you're still paying for that view. So All In is going to go against the WWE Great American Bash pay-per-view for NXT. The Saturday night's main event special, I think they're both on the same day, probably one in the daytime and one at night. And Evolution, which is the all-female pay-per-view. All three of those are going against All In weekend. And usually I'm like, yo, AEW is smoked, bro. But not, I don't think this time is going to be like that. I think more people are going to actually watch All In than all three of these shows. Saturday night's main event, it's always so average. But All In is just like, All In is like the WrestleMania of AEW. So I believe people, if they're going to gravitate towards something, they're going to watch that, especially like wrestling fans like me. I don't watch AEW as much. I will start watching again after All In to see. And if they turn me off, I'm fucking out. I can only give so many chances. But I'm going to watch All In. And because that's what it does, is like, it's like the reset. It's like the WrestleMania. So depending what they do at All In is depending how the direction of the year might go. I don't think WWE's going to win like the little war or whatever, the watching wars, it's not the Monday Night Wars. It's like the whatever weekend wars or something out of these four pay-per-views. I think All In will probably gather more. If they don't, then they're really falling. But All In's going to be in Texas. And I think the show, I believe absolutely the show is going to be better than the NXT show and the Saturday Night Main Event show. Evolution, you see, that kind of like bites them in the foot. I think more people will still watch All In than the Evolution show. And unless, I think that's where the real, like, that's where the real things happen. I think it's between All In and Evolution. Whoever wins out of that, because it's an all-female, so I think is going to get a lot of eyes on it just because of what it is. And then All In is going to get a lot of eyes because it's pro wrestling. So it's more higher level pro wrestling. So we'll see what happens there. I do believe Tony Khan even said, like, yo, it's going to be a big mistake for them to do that. And I, for once, do believe him. I think All In just has a little bit more clout than the other three for that weekend. So, yeah, I think All In was also on it used to be in August. I guess it's in July now. So they did change it. So they're changing, you know, a lot of dates are changing when it comes to wrestling. And we'll get more into that, like, probably in the next episode. But speaking of wrestling, that's it. That's all the wrestling news I kind of have right now. Anything else is not really that important to me. Or it's not really that important to share or have thoughts about. There ain't really much else. I think we can jump into music at this point. Let's see. Yeah, so that's Raw. That's my All In versus WWE thoughts. And now we're going to jump into music. So the AMAs 2025 was the other day, the American Music Awards. And one thing about music that I do like is one of my favorite things to do is to see how fucking stupid the awards are. But I don't think they did a bad job this year in picking winners, but possibly they did. So the performances, I didn't care for any of the performances, be honest. Jennifer Lopez did a performance, and then everyone else, I just didn't care. I didn't give a fuck. Shout out to Gwen Stefani. I really did not care for any of the performances. I've seen all these people perform. They're all good, but it wasn't anything I really cared about. If I go Music Awards winners. We're going to talk about the winners. We're going to talk about just the category and the things itself, right? So, do I have the complete list here? Okay, yeah. So, we're going to start from here. We're going to start from the bottom to make our way up. We're going to give our thoughts, too. So, there's a couple categories at the American Music Awards and who they gave it to and who won and lost and whatever. And then we'll talk about I'll give you my thoughts on them, right? So, I don't really care much for this one. Favorite K-pop artist, I guess RM won. I don't really listen to K-pop. I would possibly think. So, let me see. You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm gonna do? Here's what I'm gonna do. Like that. And then here's what I'll do. So we can all see it. Let's see. Okay, cool. So what I'll do here is bam. So we can all see we can all see what's going on, right? So all right, here. So here, this is the K-pop artist winner was RM. I don't know who that is. I just don't. So that's just what it is. Actually, give me a quick second. Here's what I'll do instead. Because the thing is, I have one screen. And if I change it to the other screen, it'll be a lot better so I can see it. Because right now, it's a really hard time for me to see. So bear with me. Okay, so now bam. Okay, now I can see, which is good. So the American Music Award nominations, we're gonna go through them, right? We'll go through them. And I'm looking at this to CBS News. Just throwing them out there then. Like I said, the favorite K-pop artist is RM. Don't really know who that is, but good luck to them. I do know who Rosé is. She has that one song with Bruno Mars. That's as much as I know her. I don't really listen to K-pop as much. I listened more to Japanese pop when I used to be really big into anime, but I don't listen to K-pop as much. Afrobeats. So I do listen to Afrobeats. They're giving Tyler all the awards when I do think, so within this category, I do think Tems is my favorite. I do like Asake. Wizkid this year, I don't think he should take it. Tyla, they're just giving her the awards, man. Like, she has a one big hit record, but, you know, I do think Tems or even Asake, is that how you say it, bro? If I say it wrong, my bad. But Asake or Tems should have won this award. I think Tems had like a better... I think her music was better. But it does say favorite Afrobeats artist. So one thing about this, I'm pretty sure they said that that this list is by people voting. So she's just more popular. I do think... My favorite Afrobeats artist was Tems last year. It was all last year, right? Favorite soundtrack, Arcane League of Legends Season 2. This is what? Huh? I didn't even know this existed. Moana 2 is in there. Hasba Hotel. I don't know any of these records. I don't know any of them records. Favorite soundtrack should have been, okay, that's 2025, so I'm not even going to say it. Never mind. But yeah, shout out to League of Legends. They won. I'm pretty sure this wasn't televised, but they won something. So that's cool. Favorite dance electronic artist. We have Lady Gaga who won, but who was she up against? I don't remember much of these other people from last year. Like, I know who all these people are. I know who they are, right? I don't remember a David Guetta song last year that really took off. I don't remember. I think I remember one Charlie XCX song that probably took off last year. I think Marshmello had... I can't remember a good song that I really cared about last year from Marshmello. So I guess you give it to Lady Gaga? I don't think any of these dance electronic artists are dance electronic artists, except probably Marshmello. John Summit, I don't know who that is. But Lady Gaga winning this award, it's weird because I thought the song she has is kind of more soul with Bruno Mars. I don't think there was any other song that came, but I guess. What did Charlie X... I think Charlie XCX had a song last year, bro. And I can't... Let me see. What is that? I can't remember it or something. I just don't know. Yeah, I guess not. All right. Yeah, shout out to Lady Gaga. She won that award. So, actually, let me do something real quick. I opened Spotify and I was gonna remember to see what was, but I just don't. Favorite rock song: Linkin Park. One. I don't really know any of these songs. I like Hozier. I don't know this Too Sweet song. I didn't listen to not one Green Day record this decade, possibly. A Miles Smith. I don't know Stargazing. I don't know. I know Zach Bryan is. I don't remember Pink Skies. I guess Linkin Park would win this. Emptiness Machine. Look, I'm just going to say, since Chris passed away, Linkin Park ain't been the same. Sorry. Favorite rock album? I don't know. 21 Pilots won. I like 21 Pilots. I didn't think they were rock. I didn't know they were in the rock genre. I thought they were mainly pop. But I didn't know Hozier was rock. I guess. They're a rock artist. I don't know. I don't really listen to much to rock. So, sorry guys. I say music, but I mean like hip hop and pop and like R&B and soul. And I don't listen much to rock or country, so sorry. Social Song of the Year, which was added this year. And Anxiety won by Doechii. This was the category that was added this year. This category did not exist last year. Or year before that. That's the Social Song of the Year. Not the bar song. Not a bar song. Not Million Dollar Baby. Not a bar song. Anxiety. That's the winner of the category that was added this year for the first time. Anyhow, collaboration of the year: Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars, Kendrick and SZA, Marshmello, Kane Brown, Post Malone, and Morgan. I don't know any of these much. I know the songs. I know all these songs, actually. I know every single one of these songs. I don't know if any of them were like the big collaboration of the year. I do think possibly Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars do deserve this collaboration of the year. The thing is, we get a lot of Kendrick and SZA for Luther, so it doesn't feel like the biggest collaboration of the year. It feels like, you know, the group just made a song, and I like that song too. But Marshmello and Kane Brown probably is a very, very... I don't think I know the song. Miles on it. Post Malone and Morgan Wallen. I had some help. That probably should have been like collaboration of the year. That was a good song. Rose and Bruno Mars. Same thing with like Kendrick and SZA. I think it just feels like they always go together. Or I only know them together. So it's for them specifically. So I don't see that as collaboration of the year. Taylor Swift and Post Malone, Fortnite. I don't think it's better than Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars, Die With a Smile. I think out of all of them, Die With a Smile is a better song, so it should have won. Yeah. Also, that would be the first time they collab too. So, fair hip hop song, Not Like Us should win. It was the biggest song of the year last year. Not Like That, Glorilla. None of these songs are as big as Not Like Us. Fair hip hop song should win. Not Like Us should be the fair hip hop song of the year. Favorite hip-hop album, and I was surprised. I was kind of surprised. So, Gunna being on there is weird, because I guess 101, people really liked that album. It was decent. It wasn't all that. I think it was overhyped, but it was a decent album. We Don't Trust You was a great album. GNX is a good album. I don't think it's great. I think Kendrick's other albums are better. I think this is way too... It's not for me, right? You guys already know I'm a New York... I'm, I'm, I'm New York till I die, and I'm also Florida till I die, because I live in Florida now. But so the West Coast like bop isn't too much for me. And one thing about Kendrick Lamar's previous work, that it was very, it was sounded like West Universal West Coast, which I really liked, but this was just too West Coast for me. And I think it's a great album for the West Coast. It's just, I thought it was okay. I think it's the least, my least favorite out of all his albums. The Tyler, the Creator album was, it's too much. I think these Tyler, the Creator albums are too much. He does too much fucking weird gimmicky shit, bro. And it's not, I used to listen to Wolfgang Tyler, the Creator, and I liked shit like that, but this is, it ain't for me, bro. It ain't for me. We Don't Trust You is a great album, but I believe The Death of Slim Shady was an incredible album. I thought it was an incredible album, and I've been very critical of Eminem lately, and I thought it was an incredible album. The entire sequence of the album flowed beautifully. Each song got into the next song even better. They all, like, it was an amazing album, and I hate that this album didn't get like really any recognition at the Grammys, but I'm glad like they gave this recognition. It should win. Like, this was CSS favorite. If people really did vote, then yeah, people are voting correctly. Like, I guess all these people voted, right? All these things that people voted, and supposedly that's what they say, you know. Who knows if they really did. And The Slim Shady was my favorite album. I think it was a better album out of all of them last year. But the one I can remember, maybe later in the year, we'll do Joshua's Awards. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. It depends on how I am. favorite female hip-hop artist, Megan Thee Stallion won. I don't see how. Honestly, out of these five women, if you would have gave it to somebody, I probably would have gave it to Glorilla. Glorilla should have won this award. I wouldn't even be mad if you guys gave it to Dochi. I wouldn't be mad at Lotto. I wouldn't be mad. Yo, everybody else but Megan Thee Stallion should have won. Sexy Red had a fucking year last year. Glorilla had a fucking year last year. Dochi had a year. Lotto, it probably the least out of all the other three, but she did have a good year last year too. I think Megan Stallion had a horrible year last year, but she won female hip-hop artist. So that's how you know, like, maybe some of these things are not real. I don't think people voted for that, but happens. Favorite male hip-hop artist last year should have been Kendrick Lamar. I mean, it's obvious, but Eminem did win, and Eminem winning I don't hate it. I think it should have been him or Kendrick, probably Kendrick Lamar more, because he was just on top of the world. But oh, you can give it a Future too. Future went off, but I probably give it to Eminem or Kendrick. Favorite female R&B artist is not even a fucking... They had Tyla in there. They have Tyla in there, in R&B, but she's down here in Afro fucking beats. What the fuck? Let's go back. But whatever. What the fuck? Whatever, bro. Female R&B artist of the year. Summer Walker, Money Long, Kalani, SZA. It's not even a fucking competition. SZA should have won that. Money Long is good. I like Summer Walker. I like Money Long. I like Money Long a little bit more. But come on. Favorite Latin song. That I think Sotera. You have DTMF. Oh, fucking shit, bro. They should have just gave it to DTMF. I love that. I love that song so much. I love that song. That song is fire. That should have been favorite Latin song. That was my favorite Latin song. That was my favorite Latin song of the year. So that was my favorite one. We should have DTMF. That should have won. I guess Soltera was good too. I wouldn't have been mad, but DTMF is song of the year for me. He is song of the year for me. We'll see what happens. I think that was song of the year for me. It's weird. Oh, favorite album. Okay, so Bad Bunny won the best album. I thought the album was fantastic and incredible out of all these things too. I didn't really listen to anything else, so that was an incredible album. So that's what it is. Give me a quick second then, guys. I swear I'm scratching my nose because it's itchy. It's not because I do coke. I don't. Just letting you know. But I had an itchy nose. I'm also a little sick too. Favorite Latin duo or group? I don't know. I guess the right person won. Favorite female Latin artist? You gave the song of the year to Shakira and Becky G wasn't in any of them. And then you gave her favorite artist. That's who wins. Oh my God, guys. I'm sorry. I'm a little sick, so I have itchy nose. Favorite male Latin artist, Bad Bunny, who should win. I like Raw Alejandro as well. R&B song. Favorite R&B song should have been Residuals. Residuals is an incredible song. It's an incredible song. Of course, they're going to give it a tie to SZA because I think, like, even though Chris Brown won a Grammy, he's still shadow banned. And especially since he just went to jail. So they're probably going to give it to Residuals. And they're like, nah. I think Residuals is an amazing song. It's probably one of my favorite songs of the year. And it should have won R&B song. But give it to SZA. Whatever. Fair R&B album. Come on, bro. Hurry Up Tomorrow is a great album. I just don't think it stood the test of time. It was a great album to listen to. I do think the Some Sexy Songs for You is a little bit better. I think the songs are more enjoyable. But now I think about it, Hurry Up Tomorrow is probably the better work. It's the better album. It's not the more enjoyable album than the Party and Drake album. But I think, now that I think about it, I think this was the better album. I love this Bryson Tiller album. Don't get me wrong. This Bryson Tiller album was a great album. The SZA, I'm not too into SZA. And this is an album deluxe of an album, which is, you know, it gets annoying. I hate when they do things like this. This is why I hate those things. Party Next Door 4 was good. I think it's the same tier as Bryson Tiller. I think either one of these two should have won the Sexy Songs for You or the Hurry Up Tomorrow. And now that I think about it, I think Hurry Up Tomorrow should have won. So I think that was the better album. Favorite female R&B artist? Didn't we already go? Huh? Did they put it twice? Am I tripping, bro? They did put it twice. All right, they put it twice. Male R&B artist, The Weeknd. Yeah, you might as well give it to The Weeknd. I think Weeknd should win it. Favorite country song. I like the song, so it should win. A bar song is probably the bar song is really good. And it's still on the charts, still killing. Like, it should be winning awards. It's crazy that it's not. I think it's also the number one most. It's still the highest on the charts as number one. I thought that this song should be winning more awards. Favorite country album. I didn't listen to any of these. Cowboy Carter wasn't for me. Sorry, but she won. Dan and Shay. I don't listen to country. Female artist. I don't listen to country. Male artist. Post Malone winning male country artist, crazy. But hey, I like Luke Combs. Luke Combs should have won. Favorite pop song. Okay, so the winner is Birds of a Feather. Out of all these, and Birds of a Feather should win. It is the better song. Oh my God. I hate having to scratch my nose. I hate that I'm sick. I think Birds of a Feather is the better pop song out of all these, unfortunately. For everyone else, it is. In my opinion, it is. I didn't listen to the album, so I don't know which out of any of these the best pop album is. I did hear that Taylor Swift one. I did like it. But I like Billie Eilish. I think she sings very, very well. And if the album, favorite pop album was Billie Eilish, then yes, it should be it. More along this year, since, you know, the podcast has started, whatever this is, a broadcast, I guess. What if I say broadcast, I say podcast, I say show, it's all three. So as it keeps going on, I'm going to listen to more albums and give more takes. So, you know, I didn't hear any of these, but except the Tortured Poets Department. But I'm guessing Hit Me Hard and Soft was good. Pause. So, like that. And then Billie Eilish just starts cleaning up, bro. Look, one, two, she wins pop artist, which she should. I think she's very talented. Bruno Mars starts winning at all these, which is fine. He had very good big records. Favorite music video. I never seen any of the other videos. I see Not Like Us, of course. Si Antes De. I guess that would be the better one. I need to start watching videos again if they still have music videos, like, important for something. Favorite touring artists. I guess Billie Eilish just won. I thought, like, Taylor Swift would win that, but I guess she didn't. Song of the Year. There's a lot of songs. Too Sweet. Hozier had a better song. I don't know why that's there. A bar song should have won this song, but Birds of a Feather winning is not bad. But a bar song should have won. Or Not Like Us. But I think a bar song was bigger than Not Like Us. I think a bar song was still bigger than all these other songs. So it should have won Song of the Year. And it should have won Song of the Year the Grammys too. But Lucian wanted to get involved. The new artist of the year, I don't know, Shaboozy should probably got it, but I guess Gracie Abrams, yeah. And then artist of the year of last year, honestly, was Kendrick Lamar, Sabrina Carpenter, Billie Eilish, I guess, yeah. So give it to Billie. So Billie Eilish kind of swept. She swept, like, pretty much everything. How much she won? She won, like, 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6. She won 6 awards. 6 or 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think that's it. She won 6 awards. So, yeah. So, that was the American Music Awards. Like I said, the performances weren't really that much. It wasn't that good to really care about. And that's my thoughts on them. I think the next award show is the BET Awards. And, oh, sorry, guys. When we get to that, we'll talk about that probably next episode when we get closer to the BET Awards. And then we'll look at the nominations. But, oh, man, I hate being sick, guys. I hate being a little sick because when I'm sick, my nose starts to itch a lot, bro. So I get like runny, itchy nose. But there it is. That's the American Music Awards. We can probably just take the display off now and go back to do what we were doing. So I like looking at the camera more. I like kind of looking like this. Yeah. So That's the American Music Awards. They did what they did. Most of those things I didn't really know. Next, we're going to go. Well, let's stay in music more. And we're going to look at the Billboard charts. It's all very hot in here. I don't know why it's so hot. Usually I have this AC cranking up. But right now, floor is like 90-something degrees. So, it's like almost 100 degrees right now. So, yeah. So, that's what's happening. Let's see the billboards right now. We're staying on music for quite a little while. And you see, usually the broadcast ends by now, but we might go to 2 hours because I still got a couple topics on gaming. Let's look at the billboards, right? Look at the billboards. Let's see what's happening, right? So, you know what? Why not put the display back? Put it back. All right. So this is a Hot 100. We're going to take a look. And sometimes we'll do this. We'll probably do this once a week or something. Number one, I guess Morgan Wallen is the number one song. What I want. We'll probably listen to that on Patreon. We'll listen to these songs and give reviews on these songs on Patreon if we haven't heard it, right? So shine up to the Patreon. Yee. So that should be like the thumbnail. Yo, don't destroy me, guys. Pause. So I guess this Morgan Wallen guy, I guess he's a country singer. He took three of the top spots. Ordinary, I don't really know that song. Luther Fell Off, and I think Luther Fell Off for this guy, because it was number one last week, but then Ordinary went above it, so Ordinary would have been number one if it wasn't for this guy. So I expect these three to fall off next week. One thing about the billboards that are different than what it used to be is that, you know, so with the streaming era is more number based, so it's like, hey, if you're the number one this week, then you're going to be number one this week. Unlike before, it was just like, hey, you have to climb your way to the top, and it'd be very, very, very rare for something to debut at number one. But because the streaming era is a lot more number based, and now more people could go to number one. So you have Just In Case, you're On The Problem. Die With A Smile was number three, so it went down to number six. These Morgan Wallen songs, I guess, like, he kind of just took over the top 10. Var's song is still in there, man. It just hasn't fell off, like, the top 10 for a while. 58 weeks on the charts. That's a fucking lot, man. See, that's why he should be Song of the Year. And yeah, so a couple of these songs went up because of I guess he dropped an album. I don't really know much. Teddy Swims, Nokia did go down to 12, so Nokia got knocked off the top 10. So sorry, Nokia. When do these things update? It's the 24th, the week of the 24th. So did it update already? I guess it did. Like I want to find out what day they update so we can see. Anxiety got knocked off the top 10 also. So sorry, guys. Beautiful Things, I don't really know much. Morgan Wallen dude, he's kind of like taken up, right? Because his album just dropped. Birds of a Feather wasn't top 10, those 12. So anything else going up? I mean, most of these things got knocked down all the way. What's the peak position? It was number four. Big X The Plug was number four. They haven't looked at the billboards in a while. I'm looking mainly because I want to talk with you guys. All the Way. Last week was 19, but it was at 4 like the week before. Or it's been 7 weeks on charts, huh? Expresso's falling off. A lot of things falling off. Look, everything's falling off. Morgan Wallen just took over the charts this week. Yeah, everything fell down. He's got a lot of fucking songs, bro. I don't know who this guy is. He's probably a country singer. TV off. All in Morgan Wallen. Sorry if I don't know who he is. Well, we'll listen later on Patreon. We'll listen to some of these songs that are new, and we'll give our thoughts. Squabble Up number 55. Jesus, I told you that song. I told somebody that song's not gonna get over. It got over for a little bit. TV off fell off too, but it was for the Super Bowl. Squabble. I hate Squabble Up. I hate that song. Like, I love Kendrick's songs, but that song is just. It's too Nipsey for me. It didn't sound like him. But, and it's nothing wrong with too Nipsey. It's just Kendrick Lamar is making too much Nipsey Hussle style songs. And I think Nipsey Hussle should be the only one making those type of songs. Everything's just falling down. Fall. This is the nose scratching episode because Jesus Christ, it's hot. I'm sick. Jesus Christ. Yeah, everyone fell. Everything just falls off. And you look, everything falls off, and this Morgan Wallen probably had like 20 songs on his album. Just look at all these downs. Everything just went down. So things are falling off. So yeah, that's the billboards. Morgan, shout out to Morgan Wallen. He took over the charts this week. And that's what he is. So, shout out to Morgan Wallen. This is a nose scratching episode too, because I'm going to be scratching my nose a lot. I'm getting sicker as it goes. All right. Let's go. Where are we going? So, Absol, this is Joey Badass. I guess the West Coast thing hasn't ended, but I think it did already. I think it's too late. Joey already won. Joey already put boot to asses to the entire West Coast. And me speaking as an East Coast bias, man, that's me. So, Absol probably killed it, bro, but that's what it is. And I think listening to music is going to be always on Patreon. I don't want to do this and then get copyright strike, because I got a copyright strike for when I played the first thing, that one song, the freestyle, they copyright striked me, but it wasn't like it allows me to do it, but it still gives me a little copyright thing there, and I hate looking at that. So that's it in music. We went over the awards, we went over the charts, which we at least go over the charts like once a week, right? Probably on the Thursday episodes, all of them. We'll go for the charts and we'll talk about things like that. And then Patreon's gonna be more. Patreon exclusives are gonna be a lot of music exclusives, because we can play like music, and I'll talk more on that project, because we got a couple more shows coming out for YS91.1. So, and I know I don't put over 91.1 a lot, but subscribe, man. Subscribe to the channel, YS91.1. And if you guys want to know where the 91.1 came from, it's when I used to have a car that it didn't have Bluetooth, and I had to use the radio frequency plug, and where I would play my music and anything from my phone, it would be on the 91.1 channel. So when I was younger, people used to call me Wise. That was my nickname. That was my street name. So W-Y-E, like the same way spelled now. So I think it was spelled, actually we spell it W-Y-S-E, but we flip it around because it looks cooler. And then 91.1 is just to a callback to the days I used to have to do that. So that's where the thing came from. But why is 91.1? Follow the X channel, the Twitter channel. Not channel. Follow Twitter. Follow X, whatever it's called. Follow us on Facebook, Patreon. That's the plug. And if I had some sponsors, this would be probably where the sponsors hit. But hit me up, guys. Give me some money. And you know, we'll get up there, and you know, I won't sell out too much, but I'm not afraid to sell out when it comes to things like that. But let's go on to the next topic. And shows coming later, there will be more, like possibly more people involved. Right now, this is my show, so I like to be the only one talking. I don't like to rely on having to talk to another person, because I have to bounce my ideas, and the thing is, if there's going to be a show like that, I don't want it to be called the Joshua Gabayan Show. I think if there's going to be involving more people as we grow, it should be called something else. The Joshua Gabayan Show is Joshua Gabayan. It's me. It's things I like. It's things I want to talk about. It's all me. It's me when I'm sick, scratching my nose. It's me, right? So I like that. I like when it's me. The State of Play have rumors. So we're going to get gamers. We're going to get some gaming. There's rumors going around there's going to be a State of Play coming soon. And it's going to this going to coincide with two topics I have. So the State of Play rumors are coming, but I guess it's probably coming around Summer Game Fest week, but I don't know what else they can, like, what else can they talk about, right? The State of Play, possibly the Lost Souls aside game we've been putting over. I don't see what other PlayStation games can come out anymore. Honestly, we got everything we kind of wanted, unless they show like a Kingdom Hearts 4 like gameplay or Final Fantasy Part 3. I just don't see any other PlayStation games that I care about. Probably the new Ghost of Tsushima coming later. I don't think there's anything God of War related coming. they'll probably show more of that Naughty Dog game they've been trying to put over that Noah's really getting into. Sickness. And I just don't see anything else they can announce for PlayStation right now that will get me really, really excited. The only thing they can, and they probably will, is Metal Gear Solid. The Metal Gear Solid remake. I love Metal Gear Solid 4 a lot. I played Metal Gear Solid 3, but I didn't finish it. So I would love, when this game comes out, I'm going to play it. I'm going to play the Delta mode. We'll probably put it on Patreon, like a live stream or something. And I'm excited for that game, for the Metal Gear Solid Delta, which is the remake of Metal Gear Solid 3. I love Metal Gear Solid 2. I just think it was way too short. And there's a lot of dialogue. And Metal Gear Solid 1, it's been so long, but it was a good game. So that's probably why I'm more excited if they do State of Play. I kind of wanted to bring up this topic, asking when do you guys think the PlayStation 6 is coming? You guys can sound off in the comments if you feel like it, but I don't think, because that's been coming up a lot lately, and I still don't believe the PlayStation 6 isn't coming till probably 2027. I don't think it's coming out next year. I think it's coming out the year after. I think it's coming out the year after GTA 6. It just feels like it, and then they can do the remake and put it on PlayStation 6 and then sell the PlayStation 6 like that. One of the things they sell, like that. And I do believe that the PlayStation 6 is possibly coming on holidays 2027, and that they'll put, like, the launch title will probably be like the third Horizon game. They'll probably do Stellar Blade 2 for that. I don't think they'll do another God of War. I think they'll do an Uncharted game, because there's sources saying that Naughty Dog is working on two games. So they'll probably put that over and do a new Uncharted game. Maybe new Jack and Daxter instead of a new Ratchet and Jack. You know, they've been doing, you know how they always do Ratchet and Clank and they always make it the tech demo? They'll probably do that with Jack and Daxter. Like, Jack and Daxter might get like a PlayStation 6 return, like Jack 4 or something. That's when I see it coming in the holidays, like holiday 2024. I don't see anything else. Is it too soon? The thing is, the PS5 still going. I think in another 2 years, it will start dying down. It'll be like 7 years. So the PlayStation 6 is probably dropping in 2 years. I think it is dropping in 2 years. I think that's the best time for it to drop. The PS5 era went pretty fast. It went a lot fast. And then we get $89 games for PlayStation 6. That's coming. Whatever you guys think more, you can sound off in the comments. There's also rumors that there's a new Nintendo Direct coming, and it will be coming around when the Switch 2 drops. And they'll probably tell us about a whole bunch of third-party games that are coming, and they'll probably tell us about third party and possibly like Smash Bros. Or Metroid 4 and the new Pokemon game and everything. That's when they'll probably announce all those direct. But that next direct is going to be specifically, I believe, for Switch 2. I feel like they have to throw a direct because the hype is so down. The hype has dropped for the Switch 2. Even though they're probably sold out everywhere, people are not caring much. So if they drop another Direct right before the Switch 2 launches, it'll get them. It'll really get some people. So that's my take on it. I don't really have much to say about it. Metroid Prime 4, they'll probably talk about. They'll probably talk about Legend ZA. They'll probably talk about hopefully some new thing like a Smash 4. They'll talk about the Donkey Kong game. Yeah, let's see what the Direct does. Okay. And I want to end it off because, first of all, my nose is itching like hell. And I'm feeling kind of sick. So I'm going to end it off with what I kind of want to talk about. See, when we played The Last of Us, we played the first game, like gamers, not the people who watch on HBO. When we played The Last of Us, the first game, we loved it. I praised it. I still think The Last of Us 1 is one of the best games ever made. So, of course, the people who've seen the HBO show, they watch The Last of Us, the first season, and they're like, damn, this is goated. This is one of the greatest shows they ever watched. I did the same thing when I listened to the critics, and they said Last of Us was good, the HBO show. And I was like, of course it's good. The first game was good. Wait till you guys get to the second part, to the second game. So I'm glad the HBO people finally see what the gamers were talking about, how it all falls apart. I think The Last of Us 2 as a game was a great game with bad pacing. I think the pacing was horrible. There's a lot of things that should have happened later, and there's a lot of things that should have happened before. Joel should have died later. Shit. Maybe I'll bleep that out. So, we're going to go into some spoilers if you haven't watched anything. So, for those who don't want to hear more of The Last of Us, thanks for listening. And we'll stop here. I'm sorry for scratching my nose a lot during this episode, but I'm a little sick and I still record. So, and then on top of that, you know, check out the Patreon, subscribe to the YouTube, show some love. We're getting better as we go. Episode 5 was better than episode 4. Episode 4 was better than episode 3. We're getting better, right? Except for the scratching. Sorry. The nose scratch. And I'm not picking my nose. I'm scratching my nose. So, it's just so hot in here. So, that's also when I want to stop. So, I can fucking see what's going on. Hopefully, my AC didn't break in the middle of summer. The Last of Us. Spoilers. Spoilers. The first game was very well. The last game was horribly paced. And that is because when I think Joel should have died later on, if when we were waiting for the game, they showed us a scene of Joel being alive when it wasn't Joel. So they fucked with us when it happened. And that's why, I used to love Naughty Dog, bro. But that's why I hate, because they fucked with us, bro. Joel should have died later in the show and later in the game. And supposedly they're going to change the show's last season, because the last season is more into the last. So The Last of Us 2, the game got split into two seasons for the show. So I think they did it with the first one too, but they might change some things at the end, but the game ruined the show. The game ruined, like, the ending of the game was so terrible. Like, I hate that Ellie got a conscious and didn't kill Abby. I think they should have gave you that as a choice, but they just have her almost kill her and live. Like, she, like, slaughtered everybody, but then she gets to live. But Ellie kills all her friends and lets her live, which is stupid, but whatever. The Last of Us show, first of all, I don't like Bella Ramsey being Ellie, because when the time skip happens, she doesn't look any different. There's a time skip that's supposed to happen. It doesn't look any different. No one looks different. The show has other actors that look like Ellie, and now she does sound like Ellie. Bella Ramsey does sound like Ellie, but I don't think she hits the character well. She has the voice of Ellie. That's pretty much it. I don't think she gets the look And a lot of people notice that too and know that. And then a lot of people not liking it. And that's always been the wrong decisions Naughty Dog likes to make. They always make wrong decisions like that. So I'm glad that the people on The Last of Us who are watching the show finally caught up with what the gamers were talking about. It goes to shit. And I think the show's going to go to shit too. So that's what it is there. Other than that, man, that was my thoughts. I'm going to get out of here. My nose is itchy and it's very, very hot in Florida. And it's also, I'm feeling a little like sick, like my nose is very runny. So guys, thanks for checking us out. It's been an hour and a half. We talked, we spoke, we did a lot of music topics, which I love the music topics like that. And then we're going to cut it off here. So thanks, guys. Thanks for everything. Thanks for the support. Support us on all the things. Check out the description. It's going to give us everything. And we're done here. See you guys later. I'll see you guys on Sunday or on Monday. Peace, y'all.